So first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to give a talk at this conference. I will talk about holography and hydrodynamics, and a number of people have contributed to this activity over a number of years. I list them here in order of appearance of the papers in HAPTH, together with some relevant references. And I would like to emphasize especially the role of Gamson, because it was his idea to apply ADS-60 correspondence to hydrodynamic regime of thermal quantum field theories. So the ambitious goal, of course, is to understand thermal gauge theories, in particular to understand thermal QCD. And on particular interest of the, in these theories, there is a regime which is called fluid dynamics regime or hydrodynamic regime. And of course, it is of particular interest because of the ongoing experiments in on heavy ion collisions, which are currently going at RIC in Brookhaven. So presumably quarkium plasma is created in those collisions, and of course we would like to understand the properties of the state of matter. Well, the hydrodynamic regime is completely characterized by values of transport coefficients, such as shearing bulk viscosity, thermal conductivity, diffusion constants, and so on. And these coefficients must be computed from microscopic theory. Once you have values of these coefficients, and you have conservation laws, you can derive hydrodynamic models which completely characterize the evolution of this fireball, which is presumably created in the RIC experiment. Unfortunately, transport coefficients are very hard to compute from first principles, even in perturbation theory. So I can give you one example. At the moment, no calculation of bulk viscosity in thermal gauge theory is available in perturbative regime. So Lattice theory is not of much help, because in order to compute on the lattice, you need a Euclidean formulation of the theory. And in order to have a computation of transport coefficients, you have to work with real time, because these are relaxation processes. And therefore, there is no direct imputation which is coming from the lattice in the non-perturbative regime. And we find ourselves in a situation when ADS-AT correspondence is the only window in this non-perturbative regime of thermal gauge theories, at least as far as transport coefficients are concerned. Well, some transport coefficients, in particular gauge theories, can be computed using gauge gravity duality in the regime described by gravity duals. Usually it involves large N and large soft coupling. Also, in particular cases, one can compute corrections in powers, inverse powers of coupling constant, and hopefully maybe in inverse powers of N or N squared. Well, it turns out that shear viscosity result, or more precisely, a result for the ratio of the shear viscosity to entropy density, is universal. It is the same for a very large class of gravity duals. And this is, of course, very good, because we need model-independent results in order to hope to compare this with anything that happens in the real world. Conversely, certain results are predicted by hydrodynamics. And if you find them in gravity, it provides a check for ADS-AT correspondence itself, which I think is quite important, too. So the outline, well, I will remind you what shear and bulk viscosities mean, and then I will show you how to compute viscosity in ADS-CFT, and we will talk about, I will give you at least one proof of universality of shear viscosity in the regime described by gravity duals, and then we will talk about more ambitious calculation which computes bulk viscosity and the speed of sound from gravity in more generic background, and I will say a few words about relation to RIC. So what is hydrodynamics? So let me remind you what is happening in typical thermal gauge theory. So this is an example of the time scale. Dangerous pointer. So this is a typical time scale, and here is an example given for sufficiently dilute gas. So you have, first of all, you have time when a mechanical description or quantum mechanical description is valid, so your particle is moving by itself and you can describe it by some mechanical or quantum mechanical laws. Then there is interaction with a neighbor, and you enter a different regime which is described by kinetic theory. You can use Boltzmann equation or Vlasov equation or your favorite kinetic equation to describe the situation here. And then after many collisions, and this is a scale of corresponding to mean free time, so then time is much larger than the mean free time in the theory, so many collisions already happened. What you have here is formation of the local thermodynamic equilibrium. A local thermodynamic equilibrium is characterized by the densities of the conserved charges, right? They allow to depend on time and on spatial coordinates. And as time goes by, these densities of conserved charges gradually relax to the complete equilibrium. And as you know, the complete equilibrium is characterized by the globally conserved charges such as energy, angular momentum, electric charge, and so on. Okay, just like in black hole situation. So hydrodynamic approximation is one step back in time on this time scale. So if you want to draw analogy with black brains or black holes, it means that you have to consider fluctuations of the black hole or black brain, the ground, which gradually relax to the equilibrium, which is characterized by this number of conserved charges. There is also a hierarchy of scales. So if you consider a hydrodynamic regime, the typical scale should be much larger than the mean free path in your theory. And of course, it should be much smaller than the typical size of the system, because otherwise the boundary effects will prevent you from using the hydrodynamic equations. I must add that actually in this time scale, so this is an example, as I said, for sufficiently dilute gases. It may happen that for some thermal theories, the kinetic regime is absent. For example, think of liquids. And therefore, one can think of approaching hydrodynamic approximation in this different way, not from kinetic theory. So usually you solve Boltzmann equation, and you can derive from Boltzmann equation some values of transport coefficients in the hydrodynamic regime. But sometimes it's simply impossible because there is no kinetic regime to speak of. So fluctuation dissipation theory helps you in this situation, because fluctuation dissipation theory approaches the hydrodynamic regime from the other side, from the regime of complete equilibrium, because it relates transport coefficients here to the values of the correlation functions computed in the equilibrium. So what is viscosity? Viscosity is a measure of internal friction in liquids or gases. So just like in the standard Newton's equation, we have this frictional term proportional to velocity. So Euler's equation for liquid to gas are nothing else but the Newton's equation written for moving liquid or gas. So there is a frictional term here. We have to introduce friction. Well, it's rather simple. If you have two layers of liquid which move with different relative velocity to each other, just like your palms are moving, right, you can feel some friction between them. You feel the friction because the molecules of particles of one layer penetrate the particles of other layer, and they transfer momentum, so eventually the velocities of these two layers equilibrate. So the same thing happens in liquids, and therefore the frictional term must be proportional to the gradient of velocity. So velocity of these two sliding layers should be different, right? But this is not the full story, so we might suspect that. This is not the full story simply because you can consider, for example, liquid in some glass which is rotating with angular velocity omega, and in this situation, the layers of liquid do not slide with respect to each other. The whole thing is rotating as one unit. So our frictional term must be zero in this situation. And linear combination of these gradients which obey this property is written here, just a symmetric tensor. But symmetric tensor can be split into symmetric traceless tensor, written right here, and the trace. And the coefficient, independent coefficient, in front of the symmetric traceless part is called the shear viscosity, eta, and the coefficient in front of trace is zeta, the bulk viscosity. So you can see that the trace term is proportional to delta ik, just like pressure in this Euler's equation. So you may think of bulk viscosity as renormalization of pressure due to dissipative effects in the fluid. Because I remind you that this pressure here is a pressure computed for equilibrium configuration, equilibrium system. Okay? So when you have a dynamical transfer of momentum here, so particles transfer not only horizontal momentum, but also vertical momentum if velocity is changing from layer to layer. Okay, so this is analog of renormalization of pressure. All right, so for normal viscosity, for normal gases and liquids, so Maxwell derives the formula for viscosity from his kinetic theory, and you see that shear viscosity is inversely proportional to the cross-section of the interaction, and this means that if the gas is weakly interacting, viscosity actually will increase. So sometimes there is a statement that viscosity of the ideal gas is infinite, and this is a little bit counterintuitive, but if you look at this formula, you will see that indeed this is the case. Well, for liquids, expression for viscosity and dependence of viscosity on of shear viscosity on temperature is very, very different than it is for gases. But I think it's important to keep in mind that these expressions are extremely, extremely different, and dependence on temperature is very different. In practice, these coefficients A and W are not computed from first principles. They actually are chosen to fit the data, experimental data. Well, how do we compute transfer coefficients from first principles? So I already mentioned the fluctuation dissipation theory developed by these people. It's not Michael Green here. So one example of fluctuation dissipation relationship is the so-called Kuba formula. And Kuba formula relates to shear viscosity to a particular limit, to omega going to zero limit, of the correlation function of particular components of the stress energy tensor. And this is very good because this can be derived from microscopic theory. In particular, we know how to compute the correlation functions of stress energy tensor and NGS CFT. So let's do the calculation and see what happens. So let's consider a rather generic background. So the only requirement for this background which we impose will be that it must have a shear mode. In other words, it must have a direction in which the fluid flows and another direction in which the gradient of velocity rises. Okay, so that's one thing. Well, we also demand this metric to be diagonal, but this is just because we don't want to deal with chemical potential at the moment because this computation is not yet complete, so maybe it's a weaker condition. And of course, there are other fields present in the ground which I don't show here. So from previous transparency, we have this expression for the shear viscosity through Kuba formula, but from work of Klebanov and others, we know that this correlator is actually related to the absorption cross section of the components of the graviton HXY, which couples to this TXY, propagating in this background. So just by comparing these two expressions, we immediately conclude that there is a very simple formula for shear viscosity. The shear viscosity is actually proportional to the zero energy limit of the absorption cross section of these components of the graviton. All right? Well, but it can be shown that graviton's component HXY are Bayes equation for a minimally coupled massless scalar in the ground. And there is a theorem due to Das, Gibbons, Matur, and separately Amparan that the zero energy limit of the S wave absorption cross section of the minimally coupled massless scalar is simply equal to the area of the horizon of the black hole, black brain. Right? Therefore, but we also know that the entropy density by Bekenstein-Hawking formula is proportional to the area of the horizon. So we substitute in this formula, and we immediately conclude that the ratio of shear viscosity to entropy density is equal to 1 over 4 pi for all these backgrounds. So this result can be corroborated by other calculations. I just gave you the absorption argument, but you can also directly compute the correlator which enters the Kuba formula. This is done by Buchel in this paper. Or actually, historically, the first approach was related to the so-called membrane paradigm developed in the 80s. One can derive the general diffusion formula for various diffusion processes from using this membrane paradigm approach. And it turns out that this formula gives precisely the same results as the direct ADS-CFT calculations in all cases which were checked. Okay? Well, then there is a nice theorem due to Buchel and Liu, which states that this coefficient is nothing else as 1 over 4 pi. Okay? So there is one missing link here, namely how to prove that the membrane paradigm formula generically gives you exactly the same result as ADS-CFT. But actually, this link is established, it's just not published, but you know, this can be used as another approach to compute this ratio. So once we have this universal result, or more or less universal result, we can formulate, we cannot formulate anything. Let's first look at the shear viscosity dynamical force with Rand Mills. All right? So this is the plot of this ratio of 8 over S as a function of coupling constant lambda. And the perturbative result here is inversely proportional to lambda squared, and then there is this log. So you can understand the appearance of this lambda squared here very simply if you remember this Maxwell formula. Remember, for shear viscosity of gases, it's just 1 over sigma, 1 over cross-section interaction in, in perturbative field theory. This slope is a rather non-trivial result obtained by these authors. This is on Brad Moore here. So this is, you see that when lambda goes to zero, this ratio goes to infinity. Now, at infinite coupling, there is this 1 over 4 pi as the limiting value, and then one can compute the correction to this result, which was done in this paper, in inverse powers of lambda to power 3/2. And the interesting thing is, so this is just a number, but the interesting thing is that the coefficient is positive. So you may speculate that, in fact, there is a smooth interpolation between this result, a perturbative result, and the result obtained from ADF-CFT. All right, so now you can formulate this speculation that perhaps, so first of all, look at this 1 over 4 pi. If you reinstate fundamental constants there, you see that only h bar enters. There is no speed of light, there is no gravitational constant, so you may speculate that maybe the significance of this 1 over 4 pi is actually greater than just for theories which are described by gravity duals. All right, and so the speculation is the following, that perhaps for all theories, at least with zero chemical potential, the ratio of eta over s is greater than this 1 over 4 pi. In other words, 1 over 4 pi serves as the lower bound for the ratio of shear viscosity to entropy density for this sufficiently large class of systems. So once you formulate this speculation and call it a conjecture, then you can actually go to the data available, because viscosity is measured with great precision in many liquids and gases, and you can plot this. So on this plot, so this bound 1 over 4 pi is this thin red line at the bottom, and so we plotted this data for helium, water, nitrogen, or some other liquids, and you see that liquid helium comes pretty close. So liquid helium free comes closer up to the factor of 7 to this conjectured bound. Water under normal condition is 400 higher, and the ratio is 400. The gap between the bound and this minimum for water is 400. I mean, it's different conditions. I mean, it's different pressure, so it comes lower. But if you take water under normal conditions, it's pretty high there. All right. So there is a speculation. But we want to do more. We want to compute also bulk viscosity, and we want to compute speed of sound and other transport coefficients in thermal gauge theories. And to do that, we need to formulate a little bit of relationship between the T mu, the components of T mu, and hydrodynamic quantities. So hydrodynamics is an effect, you can think of hydrodynamics as an effective theory, which is built. So the fundamental variables in that theory are the densities of conserved charges, T00 and T0i, density of energy and density of momentum. All other components of T mu must be expressed in terms of these fundamental variables. And this is done through something which is called constitutive relations. So here is one of them. And it is built just like you build the effective field theory. So you must respect the symmetries, and you add, first of all, you add linear terms, and then you add quadratic terms to some coefficients, which have some physical meaning. These coefficients, for example, appear here as shear viscosity and bulk viscosity, and there is also the speed of sound squared, which enters this constitutive relation here on top. Then you find the eigenmodes of the conservation law, d mu t mu equal to zero, and the eigenmodes of the system have some physical significance. So, for example, transfer fluctuations of the momentum, the shear mode, so-called shear mode, is given by this expression. So you see there is the eigenmode, which contains a shear viscosity in it, right? There is also sound mode, right? In any thermal medium, you have propagation of sound. And moreover, if this medium is viscous, you will have attenuation of sound. And this is written here. So you have a linear term in Q, this velocity of sound multiplying it, and you have attenuation which is proportional to this combination of bulk viscosity and shear viscosity. But since the result exactly. If you find this mode, then as a real part, you can read off the speed of sound. And from this expression, since you know the value of shear viscosity, you can compute bulk viscosity. All right. So generically, the correlator of humidity alpha beta stress energy tensor at finite temperature can be expressed up to this index terms, can be expressed in terms of five scalar functions, G1, et cetera, G5. And therefore, in dual gravity, you expect exactly five gauge invariant combinations of the fluctuations of involving fluctuations of the graviton and other fields. And these gauge invariant combinations, which are similar to cosmological gauge invariant combinations introduced by Bardeen in 1980, they obey a system of coupled ordinary differential equations, and each of them determines this function G. They determine the function G1, G2, etc., G5. And in particular, you can compute the eigenmodes of the system, and the eigenmodes, so usually this is called the quasi-normal spectrum. The lowest part of this quasi-normal spectrum in functional form precisely will coincide with the functional form of the eigenmodes which we had on a previous transparency. And therefore, from the quasi-normal spectrum of the system of these Zs, you can just read off the transport coefficients. All right, let me skip with transparency, it's not so essential. So let me give you just example of such a calculation. In so-called n equals to star super McNeils, so this is a mass deformed n equals 4 at zero temperature, it's known as Tuch-Werner flow. Finite temperature version was constructed by Bluchel and Liu in this paper, and they were able to derive metric explicitly only in the regime of high temperature, namely when the temperature is much larger than the mass scale which deforms the theory from the conformal point. Well, the results for speed of sound, for the speed of sound and the bulk viscosity are written here. So you see that for the speed of sound, you have this 1 over square root of 3 in conformal field theory, and then two terms with minus sign. In other words, the speed of sound decreases due to the introduction of this scale. And you can also combine these two results into this formula. And this is interesting because, well, it's sort of independent of this exact way you borrow conformal symmetry, right? So zeta over s, the bulk viscosity of the shear viscosity, is proportional to the deviation of the square of the speed of sound from its conformal value, with some numerical coefficient kappa, which can in principle be computed with arbitrary precision because it's just a solution of some differential equation. All right? Well, finally, let me talk about the relation to Rieck. I would like to be extremely conservative here, and this is reflected by this large ifs, which I put. So if quark-gluon plasma is really formed in heli-ion collision, because there is some debate even now about that, if a hydrodynamic regime is unambiguously proven to exist there, then certain hydrodynamic models describe experimental results for example, quantity which is called elliptic flow, quite well, provided that the ratio of eta over s, which you must input in this hydrodynamic model, is not very different from 1 over 4 pi. So let me explain what happens. So I deliberately made this graph a little bit fuzzy and small. So in Rieck, you have a collision of heavy ions, right? And a lot of particles move out of this region of collision. They can be measured, and elliptic flow is a coefficient which measures anisotropy with respect to the angle of the distribution of particles as a function of the magnitude of the momentum which we carry. Okay, so this is some coefficient which is more or less well measured, and I think we trust this measurement. So in this graph, experimental data are given by this upper curve here, all right? And other curves are simulations based on some hydrodynamic models, on some models, with different values of viscosity. So the moral of the story is the following. If you have a very large value of viscosity, taken, for example, from perturbative QCD, you get this flat curve, almost flat curve. In other words, you cannot explain experimental data, obviously. So what you do, you lower the value of viscosity by hand, and you see that these curves climb up, and eventually they sort of more or less in the region which corresponds to experimental data. So in other words, the message, apparently, if this is true, and given these ifs, the message from Rieck appears to be the following, that value of viscosity in thermal TCD plasma is low, small. Okay. Our message, of course, we don't have gravity dual string theory to TCD. Our message is the following, that if we consider theories which are described by gravity duals, and we compute in the non-perturbative regime, for strong coupling regime in those theories, we discover that the value of viscosity is also small. All right. So that's as good as it gets, I think, at the moment. So let me conclude. So we saw that ADS-CFT gives insights into physics of thermal gauge theories in the non-perturbative regime. Generic hydrodynamic predictions can be used to check validity of ADS-CFT. Actually, I didn't speak about this, but if somebody asks me, maybe I can elaborate on this. But general algorithm exists to compute transport coefficients and the speed of sound in essentially any gravity dual. It requires some work, maybe numerical work, but this algorithm exists. Okay. And finally, model-independent statements, such as the statement of universality of shear viscosity, can presumably be checked experimentally, if not now, then may hopefully in the future. Thank you very much.